I'm going to give you a good bit of background very quickly, and then we're going to come to the ministry part, because we have in our previous times together, we seem to, it takes us a while, it seems, to get to the part where we actually do the physical ministry. And I want to get to that place earlier tonight so that we have more time to spend on it. All right, you remember when we were talking about personal ministry, and we said that there was no personal ministry, effectual personal ministry, apart from the Word of God. It is all anchored in God's Word. There's no healing apart from the Word either. Now, I'm going to give you some scripture tonight, and I'm going to give you some background on the whole business of physical healing. And as we talk about this, we could really spend probably the next 6 months, every Wednesday night, just on healing. Kenneth Hagin from Tulsa, Oklahoma, has an entire ministry built on prayer, faith, and healing. And so it's a subject that God's Word is full of. It's a subject that our world desperately needs to know more about. It's a subject that the Christian church desperately needs to know more. Has anybody in here ever been sick? Huh? Do you know anybody that never has? You see, there's a tremendous need for knowledge from the Word of God concerning this promise. Now, I'm going to give you some basic facts, and we're going to run through them rather quickly, but we're going to have to establish some basics here so that we understand how to minister. We're not going to read all these scriptures in the interest of time. We don't have time to do it, but you can take them down, or you can wait until you get the notes next week. First of all, you must settle it in your heart, not your mind, but your heart, where sickness comes from. And who is the author of sickness and disease? If you think, or the person that you are ministering to thinks, as many Christians do, that sickness comes from God and disease comes from God because God is the all-powerful, omnipotent, sovereign God. If you believe that, then you will not be able to receive healing. It will be absolutely impossible for you to receive healing. It is also stupid for you to go to the doctor if you believe it came from God. Because you see, if you believe that your sickness or your illness is coming from God, and then you go to the doctor looking for healing, or go under the knife, you see, for surgery, what you're doing is violating what you believe is the will of God. Is that not true? And there are many people that are doing exactly that. Acts 10, 38 gives us a very definite statement concerning the origin of sickness. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He healed all that were oppressed by the devil. Where did their diseases come from? The devil. If you'll read Job, the second chapter, the seventh verse, you'll see that Satan went forth from the presence of God and he smote Job with boils. If you'll read in the 13th chapter of the book of Luke, the story concerning the woman that had the spirit of infirmity, and Jesus said, ought not this woman, being the daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed on the Sabbath day? Satan is the one. There was no sickness in the creation, in the first creation. In Genesis 1:31, God looked at what he made, and he said it was very good. There was no sickness, there was no disease, there was nothing twisted. There is going to be no sickness and no disease, no pain and no physical suffering in the new creation. When I say the new creation, the one that's to come, I mean the new heaven and the new earth. Revelation, the 27th chapter, says there's no sorrow there, there's no pain there, there's no crying there, there's none of that stuff there. All right, if there was none in the beginning and there's going to be none in the end, where did it come from? It came in Genesis 3, you see, when sin entered the world. Now, does that mean that the devil is present every time somebody gets the least little bit of sickness, some demon jumps up and boop, see, and drops it on her? No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that. Sometimes some diseases and sicknesses are directly and specifically caused by demon spirits. A demon spirit latches on to a person and causes serious damage and destruction in their physical body. That's what Jesus was talking about in Luke, the 13th chapter, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years. But there are other occasions. For example, if you take a shower in the middle of winter and don't dry yourself off, and then you step out in a 20-degree day, you see, without any clothes on or just a few, you know what's going to happen to you likely? You see, when Satan perverted God's creation, he perverted it all. And the effect of sin and of Satan's perversion lingers in the creation. It has not been fully redeemed yet. Romans 8 says that the creation is groaning in travail, awaiting for the fullness of its redemption. You see, there's a day coming when all of that will be gone. But where do you think viruses came from and bacterias came from and things like that? They are part of the creation, of the perversion of creation, the same way thorns and briars and all the rest are in the plant kingdom. When lions began to eat sheep, see, they weren't created that way. Lions began to eat sheep. They weren't supposed to. They were supposed to eat grass. That's the way God made them. All right? When Satan perverted the creation of God because of sin, lions became carnivorous, and they began to attack and kill other animals. All right? The animal kingdom was perverted, the plant kingdom was perverted, and that's when sickness came in as well. You understand what I'm saying? The source of sickness is the devil. God's will is healing. You must settle that in your heart, or you will never get healed and you won't help anybody else get healed. You must establish in your own heart that the will of God is for healing, always for healing. Now, do we have any scripture on that? Yes, we do. 3 John verse 2, this is the one that did it for me. Now, there are many other scriptures, but this is the first one I ever saw, and it became rhema for me. John the apostle was writing to a believer, another believer, and let's just turn to that because it's 3 John. This is 3 little John, verse number 2. Now let's read this verse out loud. Can we do that? 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. All right, now John says that I, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, I am speaking, you see, the words that the Spirit of God is giving me. I wish above all things, you see, that you'd prosper and be in health. God's will is that all creation, not only His people, but everybody, be whole or be healthy. Not only is healing the will of God, health is the will of God. God's desire and His will is for us to live in perfect health. Now, when we fall short of that and get sick or diseased, His will then is for us to get healing. How many of you can tell me where there is a record in God's Word that Jesus was ever sick? Do you know of any scripture that even infers that He was sick or infirm in any way? Why not? Because there was no sin. You see, there was no sin. It was impossible for Him to get sick. He couldn't even die. They couldn't kill Him. You see, they couldn't destroy Him. The only way He could die is when He hung on the cross and God made Him to become sin. Then He became also sickness. And then He died. Up until that point, you see, it would be impossible for Him to be sick. He had a perfect human body, one that could be uncontaminated by those things. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Now, that's what God intended in the beginning, prior to the curse, prior to Adam's sin. Now, you must settle that God's will is for healing, always for healing. How else do we know that? The Bible says that Jesus revealed to us the will of God. In the 4th chapter of John, the 34th verse, He says, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me." In John 6:38, He said, "I came not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." And if you'll turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, I want to show you a scripture that is very helpful in personal ministry where people do not know for sure that it's the will of God. Now, these scriptures that I'm giving you are in the notes that you'll be getting next week. If you miss one, you'll get the notes. It's important you know where these scriptures are, because you'll not be able to minister healing unless you know the word on healing. Are you with me? All right. Mark, the first chapter. Jesus encounters here a leper. Verse number 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now that, you see, is the prayer of most Christians. Right there. If it be God's will, He can heal me. Most Christians believe God has the power to heal. I wasn't always real sure of that until it settled in my spirit that God made me out of nothing. Then I believed that He could also remake me. If He could take a piece of dust or a handful of dust and make it a man, and if He could reach in then later to that man and take a rib and make a woman, now anybody that can do a job like that, you see, has surely got sufficient power to heal a headache or a cancer or a heart problem or restore a bad leg or a bad eye or whatever it happens to be, you see. Now that's just logical thinking, and that's why I came to that. Knowing that He made it in the first place, He sure knows how to remake it. Okay? But most Christians believe that He has the ability, but only occasionally has the will. That is not what the Bible teaches. However, in personal ministry, you must overcome that, because that is very deep-seated in Christians. And what so many Christians have done, and what many ministers of the gospel have done, in order to explain circumstances, some get healed and some don't, rather than digging into the Word to see what God's Word says, they have said instead, it's not always God's will to heal, and so that's our explanation as to why some get healed and some don't. You see, it's a nice, neat way to package it up, but it is not the truth. And so most Christians pray, if it be thy will, Father, heal me, or heal sister so-and-so, or heal brother so-and-so. Now, when you begin to declare the Word of God, you're going to offend some Christians. There are going to be some Christians, you see, that won't like what you're saying. That's why you must know the Word. That's why you must say what God says, because if they don't like what you say, then you just turn them towards the Lord. You see, you turn them towards the Word. Say, well, wait a minute, I'm not saying that. If you have an argument with me, you don't have, that's not, argument is not with me. Your argument is with the Word of God. Now deal with that. You understand what I'm saying? Don't you get in the middle of it. You just declare what God said. All right, the leper says, if it be thy will, thou canst make me clean. What did Jesus say? He said, and Jesus, moved with compassion. I like that verse right there. Moved with compassion. You take note of that. Our Jesus, you see, is not a capricious master who says, well, I'll do it for you, but I won't for you. Jesus Christ is a compassionate, merciful God. And it's not, you see, He has been painted by those even who minister His Word. He's been painted as one who had the power but dealt it out according to His own capriciousness. And He has said, well, I think she's special, and I'm going to take care of her, but I'm teaching her something, and I'm going to heal her. God's Word says that our God is compassionate, that He's merciful. Can you see that? That's very important. That passage of Scripture has helped numerous people get healed. Just those few words that Jesus moved with compassion. You show somebody sick those words and get them to begin to see that God's compassionate towards them. And compassion, you see, is not going to allow them to continue in that infirmity or in that illness. All right, He's moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him. The laying on of hands is what He did. And saith unto him by the power of His word, I will, be thou clean. All right, here's the essence of it. He says, if it be God's will, Jesus said it is God's will. That's exactly what's happening there. Jesus Christ declared the will of God. He said, I will. Now that's what Peter was talking about in Acts 10:38. We saw the verse that said Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit and he went about doing what? Good. Healing all. See, healing's good. He went about doing good. Healing. Sickness is not good. Healing's good. He went about doing good. Healing how many? All that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus is the revelation of God's will. Now, if you can find anywhere in the Bible where Jesus refused to heal somebody, then it's possible that he could refuse to heal you. Or it's possible that he could refuse to heal the person that you're trying to minister to. But you're not going to find anything like that. You can search it, and it would do you some good just to search the Gospels to find it for yourself. But I can tell you right now, you'll never see that. You will not see it. The Scripture tell us repeatedly that he healed everybody. Luke 6:17-19 says he healed them all. Matthew 15:30-31. And if you'll turn with me to Matthew 9, I want you to see something. Now these scriptures, every one I'm giving you, are important. They cover little different facets of healing. Healing is a very complex kind of thing. It's not a simple, I can't tell you all about healing in 5 minutes. It's like a gem. There are many different facets of it. And that's why this word is so important to us, because in personal ministry, you will find different kinds of objections and obstacles. For example, yes, I believe God can take care of cancer and heart disease and liver problems and infirm limbs and so on, but he doesn't want to be bothered with headaches and upset stomachs and nausea and aches and pains and so on. He's not interested in those kinds of things. They'll go away anyway. That's an obstacle. How are you going to overcome that? There are others who say, well, yes, I believe God will take care of headaches and sore muscles and so on like that, upset stomachs and fevers, but I don't really believe he's healing cancer. There are too many people dying of cancer these days. All right, now read with me Matthew 9, verse number 35, and I want you to notice what Jesus did. Read aloud with me. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, is there any disease or sickness that God does not have the power or the willingness to heal? Absolutely none. Absolutely none. You see, they are all under this healing covenant. You underline those words, every. Every sickness and every disease. It doesn't matter what you have or what your friend has. It's amazing to hear people talk about their sickness. Doctor says the worst case he's ever seen. Doctor says it's very rare, only 5 cases ever reported in all of history. With pride, even, those words are spoken. Some people are more proud of their sicknesses and their illnesses and their operations than they are their children and their relationship with God. Now, that's the truth. And it's encouraged. It's encouraged. Other people encourage it. It's unfortunate, but when we talk like that, you see, we're talking death and we're talking darkness rather than the things of light. Jesus Christ, who is the revealed will of God, who came, I come, O God, to do thy will, he said. And he went and healed every sickness and every disease. Now that verse is very important, not only for that reason, but there's something else in that verse that is also very important to this whole study on healing. Do you see what he did before he healed? He preached the word and he taught them. He taught them and he preached the word to them so that when he ministered healing, there was what available? Faith was available to receive. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you go over to Mark, the 6th chapter, the 5th, 6th, 7th verse down through there, you'll see that Jesus was in Nazareth, his own hometown, and the Scripture says he could do there no mighty works. Unbelievers, skeptics, doubters, even in the body of Christ, say that if God is healing today, if divine healing is true today, then why don't you go down there to the hospital and just clean it out and heal everybody? Well, if healing operated like that, bless God, I would, wouldn't you? I'll tell you, if I could, I sure would. I'd check in there every morning and see if they had any new cases. We'd just keep the hospital clean. Make a beautiful church anyway, wouldn't it? We could put Bible classes in those rooms instead of sick people. But it doesn't work that way. Even Jesus couldn't do it. The man himself, you see, the Word become flesh. He couldn't heal everybody. And you look at the next verse and it says, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went about their villages teaching them. You read that scripture for yourself out of Mark 6, 5, 6, and 7, in through that passage there. Jesus Christ himself, when he was here on the earth, couldn't clear out every hospital. When he came to the pool at Bethesda, in the 5th chapter of the book of John, the pool at Bethesda was a place where all of the sick and the impotent would gather around, and there was a pool of water there. And every so often, an angel of God would come, and he would trouble the water. I mean, he'd stir it up. And the first person to hit the water, he'd get healed. And he came by, and there were people all around, laying on these porches and shelves, like, all around the pool. And he came to one man who was an impotent man, and he said, wilt thou be healed? Wilt thou be made whole? Why didn't he heal the whole bunch? They were all sick. They were all in trouble, you see. Only one man that was there had the faith to believe. And he knew who that was. Wilt thou be made whole? And he said, well, yes, yeah, I want to be whole, but I don't have anybody put me down in the water. And the angel comes and troubles it. Somebody beats me down there and I can't get it. See, read the story there in John 5. Jesus healed all that came to him in faith. He didn't turn anybody away. But he didn't walk down the street, oh, I see you're sick, get healed. Oh, I see you're sick over there, get healed. Anybody in here know anybody who's sick? Well, she's healed, he's healed, your mother-in-law's okay, your sick cousin is okay. He didn't minister that way. They came to him and released their faith. Time after time, you must read the Gospels. Time after time, he said to blind Bartimaeus, came to him who cried out from the street and said, oh, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, when he found out what was going on back there in the press of the crowd, he said, do you believe that I can do this? And he said, I do. And he healed him. Every time, you see, an expression of faith. So, healing is available to everyone. And Jesus ministered it to everyone that would receive it. But we do not. Remember we said before, when we were talking about ministry in general, that we are the channels through whom this power flows. You can't go around just drop it on people any more than you can just drop salvation on people. I tell you, I wish I had that power. I really do. I wish I had. I would go everywhere just touching people and get them saved. Just like that, you see, because the power of God's there. But it doesn't work that way. People must receive their salvation. They must also receive their healing. And they're only going to receive it by the declaration of the Word. Jesus did it the same way. That's the way we do it. Now, why do people get healed in our church? Because we preach and teach healing. And so people get healed. I expect them to get healed. I expect that. Last, praise God, as I was eating supper tonight, we had a phone call from out of town. A man whose father is in a hospital here in Atlanta. And we didn't know the man, but he was diagnosed as having a blockage in his lung. And he was spitting and just blood was just flowing out of his mouth. And he was spitting it out, but it was just flowing. It wasn't coughing, but it was just flowing. And they said that they were going to have to do surgery on him. He asked if we would go pray for the man, and so we did, and I talked with him. And one question that you may ask is, can an unbeliever get healed? You should know that everybody Jesus prayed for was not born again. Now, I'm not saying they were unbelievers, because they believed in his power to heal, but not a single one of them was born again. Now, you remember that. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. He didn't say on the saved sick. On the sick. Now the devil really hindered me for a long time with that point. I couldn't pray the prayer of faith for an unsaved person. But I see now, you see, that God's no respecter of persons. And if they'll believe, they can get saved. Or they can get healed. See, same way that you and I can. All right. As I went to pray for this man, I talked with him about his relationship with the Lord, and he said he's given his life to the Lord, but I'm just a little uneasy about his relationship with God. I prefer mine to his. And Mine's more certain than his is. But I shared some word with him, and he apparently never heard this word or didn't indicate like he had ever heard it. But just sitting there in the hospital room, we just shared word. And I explained to him what God had done in Jesus and how healing belonged to him if he would just receive it. And asked him if I could pray with him. Yes, I took his hands, and he was sitting up on the bed. And as I took his hands and started to pray, there was just absolutely no anointing or anything. But this is last Wednesday. And as I prayed for him, his hands and arms just started like this. And I thought, well, maybe he's just an old man and he's got some kind of problem, physical problem, you know. And I should have known it was the Lord. And I prayed for him. And when we were all done, he come down off the bed, started dancing around the room. When I told his boy that tonight, his son, he didn't know, you know, he just got to rejoicing. He's, that sure doesn't sound like my dad. Well, I can believe it doesn't sound like his dad. It kind of surprised me too. I'd never known that to happen. Now, I mean, come off the bed and down on the floor and I'm pretty free. But I never have danced in a hospital room before. But here he was. He just like this, just dancing around that hospital room, kind of like this, you know. Well, that was the end of it. Tonight at dinner time, his son called from out of town and said he had just talked, or his wife had just talked to his father's doctor, and all of their tests come up negative. They can't find anything. See, they can't find. Now, they're going to redo all the tests again, looking for something, you see. But they can't find any. The power of God flowed through to him because the word went forth, you see. Because of the word. It's the word. Jesus preached and taught, and then he prayed for them, you see. Then he ministered to them. Okay. God's will has always been healing. Old Testament as well as New Testament. Turn with me, please, to the Psalm 103. While you're turning there, I'm going to give you another scripture or two. Exodus 15:26. God was known to his people Israel as Jehovah Rapha, which is the Lord that healeth thee. You know that when God brought his people out of Israel, you know that not one of them was sick. He brought kids. He brought people our age. He brought elderly people. And the scripture says there was not one weak or feeble among them. Did you know that? All the while, through all of that Exodus, not one of them weak or sick. God said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. His will was healing always. Now, are you at 103rd Psalm? All right, verse number 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth one or two of thy simple diseases. Uh-uh. Doesn't say that, does it? Healeth all thy diseases. Now, who is this God of ours? He's the one that forgiveth all our iniquities. All of our iniquities. Big ones and little ones, the ones we know about and the ones we don't know about, they're forgiven. And in the same breath, David said, he also healeth all thy diseases. Now, if you believe in the forgiveness of sin, then you must believe in the healing for the physical body. It's in the same breath. It came about, you see, the cause for both of them is the same, the devil, and the cure is the same, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, you remember in that, we sing the first verse of that, bless the Lord, O my soul. But remember that third verse is one of the most powerful healing scriptures in the entire Bible. Now, I want you to do something with that verse in your own Bible. And I want you where it says thine, right above that, I want you to write M-Y. Twice. Who forgiveth all my iniquities. And where it says T-H-Y, thy, write M-Y, my. And who healeth all my diseases. Now that's God's promise. Now if you don't think God heals, then you're calling God a liar. You're not calling me a liar because I didn't tell it to you. God said it to you. You understand what I'm saying? It's very important that you see that and that you use scriptures like that to minister to the person who's sick. Now, sometimes you have to get rather sharp with a sick person. When a person gets physically ill, it's a debilitating kind of thing. It drags you down spiritually. And even good Christian folks, when they're sick physically, it attacks their spirit. The devil puts the sickness on the body. And when you're hurting, it's pretty hard to be spiritual. You know how that is. And so sometimes when you're ministering to a sick person, you think that that sick person who, the person who perhaps has always appeared to you to be a strong spiritual person, and now here they have a little pain in their body, and you wonder what has happened to them. Sickness will do that. Pain will do that. It'll cause you to hurt so bad that you get spiritually very weak, and that's why it's one of the devil's tools, you see, to drag you down. Sometimes you have to be a little sharp with folks. All right, now turn with me to the book of Hosea. I'm going to give you several scriptures here, but one in particular that I think is very important. You know where Hosea is? It's in the Old Testament right after Daniel. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Now there are two verses in Hosea that are important to us in understanding why people don't get healed, especially Christian people. Now people who are not Christians, it's no wonder why they don't get healed. But people who are, who have the healing already paid for, why don't they? Chapter 4, let's start there. Hosea 4. I tell you, this verse of Scripture opened up so much of God's plan for me, not only in healing, but in so many other aspects. It's amazing, if you'll spend time in the Word of God, you have questions about spiritual things, Lord, it'll just show you a verse and it'll just bring everything together for you. And this is one of those verses. Verse number 6, Hosea 4, 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. God's people don't get destroyed because they have not been provided for. They get destroyed because they don't know what God has done. Now turn over to the 11th chapter of Hosea and look at this verse. This one just really set my mind reeling the first time I saw it. This is one reason why it's good to read your whole Bible. You see, you don't get Hosea taught very often. But if you'll sit down and read the whole Bible, God will show you little tidbits here and there, you see, that make it all fit together. Hosea chapter 11, verse number 3. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. You see, if you don't know that God has already healed, you see what he says? I healed them, past tense. It doesn't say they didn't know I will heal them. He says they didn't know that I did heal them. I already did it. I already provided it. Healing was available, you see, to the Old Testament saints as well, as they put confidence in the promises of God, as they put confidence in the blood sacrifices that were pointing towards the fulfillment in Christ Jesus. Healing was already provided for them, the same way forgiveness was. It's not just a New Testament thing. It's all through God's Word. When He chose a people, beloved, He provided everything for them. Righteousness, He provided forgiveness, He provided healing, He provided blessing, He provided prosperity, all the way. All of that ratified, of course, in Jesus Christ. All right, now, it's important for us to see that all healing comes through the Word. Now turn with me to Matthew 4 and see this principle. Matthew, the 4th chapter, is Jesus dealing with Satan in the wilderness. And Satan tempts him, and Jesus gives him answer in the 4th verse. Read this 4th verse with me. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. All right, now I'm going to read that verse again, and I'm going to accent a word. Now listen carefully, particularly as we're talking about healing, about sickness and disease. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Where is life? It's in the Word. Life is in the Word. You see, a person who is dying is going to keep on dying until they get some life, which comes from where? The Word, no other place. Man shall not live by bread alone. You've got a physical body and you think the way you're going to keep it alive is by feeding it physical food. See, if I eat meat and bread and potatoes and beans and other kinds of good nourishing foods and a potato occasionally, if I do that, then my body's going to live. But that's not true, is it? Man doesn't live by that. You can feed and feed and feed and feed and feed, and you still die. Why? Because you need the Word. God's Word is what produces life and maintains life in the physical body. This Word right here has the power in it to heal bodies. I mean, just speaking the Word. It's got the power to heal bodies. We've been talking about that on Sunday morning as we've been studying through Hebrews. The Word itself has the power. You know, when your little baby has a fever and you want to get your baby healed, the first thing you want to do is lay hands on your child, rebuke that fever, and command it to loose that baby in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you want to take this Word and stand over your baby and start reading it. Himself bore your infirmities and carried your sicknesses. By Jesus' stripes, you were healed. You speak that word to that body. Now your husband will laugh at you if he doesn't understand these things. Or your wife will laugh at you, but you'll get your child healed. Amen. See, you'll get your child healed. The Word of God heals. Did Jesus have any medicine? Never went to a medical school? Huh? Never. Never. Probably didn't even know the names of all the diseases that people were afflicted by. But he knew his Father's Word, and he spoke it. See? And that the power is in the Word. That's why I know some people are going to get healed here tonight. Just listening to the Word and meditating on the Word. See? I know that. I just know it in my spirit. Because the Word, God said his Word does never return void, but it's prosperous. It accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent forth. Okay, God's Word is the thing that does the healing. In Mark, the 4th chapter, turn with me to that. Mark chapter 4, Jesus told a parable about a man who was a sower, who sowed seed, a farmer. And he talked about the different kinds of ground that that seed was sown on. And then in the 14th verse, he interpreted this parable to his disciples. And he said in verse 14, the sower soweth the word. The seed he's talking about is the Word of God. Verse 15, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. All right, if you want to have a harvest of beans from your garden, what are you going to do in your garden in the springtime? Plant beans. You've got to put some seed in the ground in order to get a harvest. If you want to get some divine healing in your body, what do you plant? The Word of God. The Word is the seed. And you see, there are many people trying to get a harvest of healing and they haven't put any seed in. And you're not going to get that. And so when they don't get any harvest, then they say, well, it's not God's will to heal. Well, it is His will to heal, but you got to put the seed in the ground. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's no harvest without seed planting. And the seed is the Word of God. Now, I want to show you while we're here in this verse. A little out of sequence here, but the principle is here. After the seed is sown in the person's heart, what happens immediately? Satan comes and tries to do what? Steal the seed. Because if he can steal the seed, what can he prevent? The harvest. You see, there'll be no healing harvest because he's stolen the seed. I get asked this question, and I'm sure that you have asked it yourself. Why do people get healed and then lose it? See, people actually have a healing in their body, but then they lose it. They're well for 2 or 3 days, and then they're sick again. Now, doctors call that remission. I call it healing and losing it. You see, Satan comes immediately, and he steals the word. Now, if you go down through that passage, down through the 20th verse, you will see that there are other There are other instances there too where the word, sometimes the seed goes into rocky places where there's not much root. It goes into other places where there's a lot of cares of this life, you know, the thorny places. And people get their healing and they say, oh, that's wonderful, but then they don't go on and serve God. They go on into the cares and concerns of this world, you see, and they never go on with the Lord and they lose what God's given them. People are prayed for. I've seen, we've talked about it, and we'll talk a little bit about it next week again. I've seen people delivered from smoking 3 and 4 times. I mean, boom, the power of God is ministered to them, and they're delivered from it. And 2 days later, they're bound again. Come back for prayer, lay hands on them, boom, they get delivered. 2 days later, they're smoking again. Why? Time after time after time. Well, finally, I learned to quit praying for them. Because it isn't doing any good. You see, it's doing more harm than it is good. Healing is the same way. Healing's the same way. You must be careful because the enemy comes to steal that word. All right, now let's talk about receiving healing and different methods of receiving it. First of all, God's word says in the 5th chapter of James that, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. That's what the scripture says. James chapter 5, 14, 15, and 16. And then he goes on to say, confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. For the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now God has provided for every Christian healing. This is one method. Anointing with oil. Why do we anoint with oil? Because God's word says we're supposed to do it. The oil, you see, is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And when the oil is applied, it is the representation that the Holy Spirit is being ministered to that body in the realm of the Spirit. Now, I want you to notice something very important there, though. Don't you be too quick to be running around anointing people with oil, because there's no healing power in the oil. The healing power is in the faith of the person. That's why James said, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders. Why should he do the calling? Because he's saying, I release my faith in the anointing with oil by the elders of the church. And I believe that when you anoint me with oil, that I'm going to be healed. You go run around anointing people with oil because you think it's a good idea. They don't have any faith in that method for it to receive. You're not going to get anything. They're not going to receive anything. And it does more harm than good. You with me? If you're sick and you want anointed with oil, it will not be likely that I'll call you and ask you if you want anointed with oil. You will call me or someone else in the church and say, hey, I want you to come and anoint me with oil, or I want you to come and anoint my husband or wife or child or whatever it is. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. It is the responsibility of the person who is sick to do the calling. And then God's word says that they'll come. They will anoint him with oil, they'll pray the prayer of faith, and shall be healed. Shall be healed. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. That's a promise. Anointing with oil is one way of ministering healing. The second way of ministering healing is, now, and healing comes. It's God's promise. It comes. The second way is the laying on of hands. Jesus said in Mark the 16th chapter, the 17th, 18th verse, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. All right, the Word of God says that there is something that happens in the realm of the Spirit where healing virtue is transmitted from one person to another. I've heard, does anything really happen? Of course it does. In the Gospels, remember the woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years? She spent all her money on doctors and she was made nothing better, but really she was worse. And she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And you remember when she touched the hem of his garment and he perceived that virtue had gone out of him? Something flowed out of him. When there was contact made, her faith caused the power of God to flow into her. And that's exactly what happens. Now, I can tell it when I'm ministering to people, as I've ministered to them, a lot of people, I can sense the faith in a person when I'm ministering to them. I can actually feel the power of God flow, sometimes physical, or sometimes it's just purely a revelation in the Spirit. And I know that that person is receiving the power of God. Another person is, there's just no flow at all. It's terribly frustrating when you do that, and you know that there's no flow, but there's anything you can do. You can't work it up. You can't call it down. It's the person who is doing the receiving that draws it from you. Do you remember when we talked about ministry and we said that we are channels of God's power, and you can stay full of the power and you can help the person to open the spigot, but if they won't open it, you can't do anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, laying on of hands. A third way is the prayer of agreement. Matthew 18, 18 and 19. Jesus said, if any two of you should agree as touching anything on the earth, that it would be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. Now that's the promise of Jesus. Many prayers of agreement, however, that are prayed are not really prayers of agreement. Let me tell you what happens. You will pray, and you must, if you're going to base your faith on the prayer of agreement, you must be sure that you know what you're agreeing to, and be sure the other person is agreeing with you. You be praying with a person, and here's a sister now that has a physical problem. All right, I'm believing for God to supernaturally heal her, and she's fine. She's believing that the doctor's going to correct her problem with surgery. Or she's believing that medication is going to help. Or she's believing that they made a mistake on the diagnosis. All right, we're believing for the same result, but our faith is not working together because we're not in agreement. I said, do you believe that God's going to heal you when I pray? Oh, yes, I do. All the time, she has already scheduled to go to the hospital tomorrow. Now, time and time and time again, that will happen. You see? And you don't know until afterwards that she's scheduled to go into the hospital. Well, you didn't pray the prayer of agreement. You might as well go back to step one again. She's not agreeing with you. Now, it doesn't mean she can't get healed, but she's not going to get healed the way you're praying for. And if you're not careful, it will cause you great frustration because you don't get the result and you think you missed God. You didn't miss God as long as you're praying in line with this word. Do you understand what I'm saying? You be sure that you have agreement with the person who's I think we're going to stop here, and we cannot do this subject justice. I think we're going to stop here, and we'll talk about healing again next week. I think it's too much for us to try to do in one evening, and it's too important. It's too necessary that we see these scriptures, and I sense that on some of this I may be moving too fast anyway, and I want to talk more about the specific ministry. How do you do it? And how do you handle obstacles and so on as you come against them? So I think we're going to stop right there, and we'll pick up next week. We've talked about anointing with oil. We may go back on that a little bit. Laying on of hands and the prayer of agreement. We'll get a little more detail on those areas so that you know God's provided many ways for us to receive healing. So that if we can't believe for one way, we can believe for another. If we can't believe for that one, we can release faith in another. He's provided all kinds of ways for us to receive healing and minister healing. Okay. All right, let's have prayer and then we'll close. Huh? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have provided healing. We thank you, Lord, that we're made whole by the stripes that were laid on Jesus. We thank you, Father, that we are instruments of healing because your word is here on the earth in the flesh today through the body of Christ. We thank you, Father, that you have compassion upon all of those who are sick today, our Father. We thank you for evidence after evidence after evidence that you're the same today as you were yesterday, and we know that you will be tomorrow as well. Healing every sickness and every disease the same as you did when you walked the earth many years ago. Thank you, Father, for this ministry that you've commissioned us with. We thank you for the privilege of receiving this revelation knowledge concerning healing. We praise you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.